Let's go back to James again. I was inspired here recently. You know, Elijah, and we learn many things from many different lives, many different characters, Joseph, Daniel, David, Abraham, many different lives can speak to us and in us. And I would like to look at James because he brings Elijah up as an interesting character, an important character. He says here in verse 10 of chapter 5, as an example, brethren, of suffering and patience, and this all has a context. I strongly urge you to read the chapter, read the book of James, understanding where he's coming from. He says that they're an example of suffering and patience. Take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord. Spoke. You know, that's what we do when we live our life day by day and we go out. Do we think we leave the house and we go out and we encounter people and there's no word of the Lord in your heart? It's not that way. The word will come upon you, stir up on the inside of you, and we'll have words of encouragement for people. We'll have a word of the Lord. The Lord will speak to you concerning people. We count those blessed who endured, who heard you've heard of the endurance of Job and have seen the outcome of the Lord's dealings. Read Job. You'll see how God wonderfully blessed him at the end of all his trial and tribulation, and how increase and prosperity, that word might come up in the course of my message here. I'm not teaching a message of prosperity, but the Lord will prosper you and bless you when he comes into your life. And the closer you get and the closer you stay with him, the more that will increase in your life. Expect it. Expect it. It will come to you. But above all, brethren, the outcome of the Lord's dealings, that the Lord is full of compassion and mercies. As you read the scriptures and read the prophets, please ponder the mercies and compassion of the Lord. We know that there's judgment coming from the mouth of the prophet, and we see this many, many times. But mercy and compassion is also coming from their heart, leading them back. I don't want to give a spoiler here, but one of the keynote of Elisha was he turned the hearts of the sons back to the fathers. I don't want you to forget that. That's going to be a keynote. But I don't want to bring a spoiler to the message here. But above all, my brethren, don't swear either by heaven or by earth for any other oath, but your eyes, your yes be yes and your no's be no, so that you may not fall into judgment. So let's jump down here to verse 16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Everything in between here is important, but I want to get to a real message here. Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another so that you may be healed. We haven't forgotten that, have we? Sometimes there's healing bonds that need to be brought back together again once we're there. We need to be healed. We need to come to God. We need to confess our sins to one another. The effective. A lot of people pray prayers, but are they effective? Okay? Pray, but effective prayer, and we see it in the life of Elijah, and we're going to take a peek at that. The effective prayer of the righteous man can accomplish much. Elijah was a man with nature like ours. He was like us. I know it's easy for us to see all the wonderful things he did and elevate him into some high place and say, oh, I'll never reach there. The Apostle Paul, nature like ours, James, Peter, nature like ours, just like ours. But they're an example. Their life was an example. The effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much. He prayed earnestly. This is some of the core of the message. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. We go 2 weeks without rain here, and everybody's calling for a drought. Conserve your water. Don't water your lawn. You can't wash your car. You can't water your dog. Great. Sometimes it gets crazy, a drop of water, and it's instant reaction from psychology and sociology that's ruling and reigning, the systems of the world. You wonder where they're going. Now, it's not that difficult, really, to see where they're going. He prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain for 3 years and 6 months. Then he prayed again, and the sky poured out, and the earth produced its fruit. This is just one mention of Elijah. So let's go to Luke 4, and we're going to mention Elijah again because I just want to put him in a little bit of a spotlight. Just a little bit, because we want to learn some things from his life. So Luke chapter 4 is an interesting subject of Elijah, because this is one of those scenarios. I learned this from Pastor Bill. Pastor Bill, this is that which you see. You see it here, and you see it again here, and you will see it again somewhere else. But this is interesting. It says, starts out here, and this isn't the main topic. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, led about by the Spirit in the wilderness for 40 days, being tempted by the devil. Okay, let me put perspective into this. What just happened, really? You know, sometimes you start back in the old days when we'd have VCR or something or a CD, and you put a movie in and it starts right here at this scene. But you forget about everything that happened before that. Unless you know the movie, you get caught in the middle and it's like, what's going on here exactly? I'm not really sure. And then it gets to be a mystery. And then it gets, we shouldn't read the Bible that way. We should try to understand the context of where he's coming from. What just happened here? If we scroll back a little in page, we realize Jesus comes on the scene, verse 21 of the previous chapter. Now, when all the people were baptized, Jesus was also baptized. Who's baptizing? John is. Who was John? Well, now the plot thickens. Because Jesus tells you whose John is, but I'm not really pursuing that part of the story, but I want you to be aware of it. Jesus called John, he was that spirit of Elijah that was to come. This is described to us in the book of Malachi. We see it in chapter 3, we see it in the last chapter. He was the one that was to come, the forerunner. He was the one to announce. He was coming to baptize. We're familiar with this as we get into the book of Acts. Well, Apollos, he came baptizing disciples in the name of John. But you have to be baptized into Christ. So John had a role in the plan and the scheme of God. As it was unfolding, here's Jesus coming to John, and there's more backstory there. You know it. You've already heard it. Oh, well, I need to be baptized by you. And he said, let's fulfill all the righteousness. This is what you came to do. But see, the Pharisee and the Sadducee didn't come to John. They denied that he was called of God to do what he was doing. And they didn't partake of the benefit of it because they denied it. They denied who John was and what John was, the forerunner. So here's Jesus. He's baptized. He's led into the wilderness. We know all this story. This is fantastic teaching in chapter 4, where he goes and he overcomes the devil, the flesh, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. Have no other God before him. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart. This is the thing that was stirring in Jesus' heart. To do the will of the Father. We should take on that attitude. To do the will of the Father, to live this kind of life. Here he is going. Let's keep moving down. Verse 14. Jesus returned to Galilee after all those that time in the wilderness. He returned in the power of the Spirit. People wonder sometimes where power comes from. the more you put away the flesh, the more you take on the Spirit of God, the increase of power will be in your life. The more. The older you get, the more you devote yourself to it. You know, we were just with Brother Emo Corey last weekend. The power of God in his life is amazing because this is what I live for. You call him on the phone. Brother Emo, are you busy? I'm here for you. This is him. This is how he is. He's just, his whole life is for you. To serve the Lord, this is what his life is about. So we're getting there. We follow in these footsteps. The good news, look at the narrative here. Because some of this narrative, I have to borrow this. I have to say that even though the details of Elijah's life are not written down day by day and step by step, there's certain things you have to accept. Elisha didn't know anything about the Word of God that was published and known at the time. We're going to get there, but Elijah's life was when in history? 100+ years past David. Well, what was recorded by then, by that time and period in history in perspective? Psalms, a lot of the Psalms were written. Quite a few Proverbs were written. This is past Solomon's life. Elijah's going to appear off of Scripture. Ta-da! Here I am. When we get to 1 Kings 17, do we think he knows anything about Scripture, truth, history of Israel? He's never heard of Deuteronomy. He studied it. But you have to assume that. He was a man of character and righteousness. Where did he learn to be godly? It's from books that he had read. From oral tradition that he has. You have to assume that. You have to. But if you refuse it, that's fine. How did he become the man of character that he was? That we would emulate him. That he would be a man of prayer and he would pray fervently that it would not rain. And it did not rain. Until I say so. He says to Ahab. This is the fun part. This is what we're going to get. But back to this again. Jesus' ministry. Watch what's happening here. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news about him spread all the district, all through the surrounding districts. The news of him. What news? It doesn't tell you. What was he doing that it was spreading around? What was Jesus doing? Thank you. He does what everything has been revealed that he has been doing. This is what he's been doing. It even shows you. It will continue. He began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. His teaching must have been good. And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, and as it was his custom, it was Paul's custom. We were just reading that in Acts. It was Paul's custom to go to the synagogues and to preach, where men of God would gather together. And we find out, if we're in the timeline of God, that we understand where God is and how he's speaking. He came to Nazareth, where he'd been brought up, and as it is his custom, he entered the synagogue on the Sabbath, stood up to read. This part just blows me away. He stood up to read, and the book of the prophet Isaiah was handed to him. Here, read this. Where did he turn? Of course, you know that, all right? This is the season. Isaiah 61. You could turn to it. You could find Isaiah yourself. He scanned through it, and he found the place where it was written. Look at what he does. He opened the book, found the place. The Spirit of the Lord. I'm getting to Elijah. Hang tight. We're coming right up on it. We're sneaking up on it. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Here's the word. This is what they were hearing. He's reading. He stood up to read. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, the recovery of sight to the blind, and set free those who are oppressed. This is what he came for. He went about doing good, healing all that were oppressed of the devil. To proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. Not the terrible, awesome year of the Lord that you read in Malachi. That's a time left to come. That's what you'll read in Malachi. But this time when he came as the sacrifice of the Lamb, it was the favorable year. It was the year of Jubilee. It was the year which the people were going to be released from their sin. There's going to be a reset. A reset. You're going to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh, if you want to. It's available for you. Watch what happens. He closed the book, gave it back to the attendant, sat down. Picture the scene. Gave him the book, sat down in his chair. Everybody, eyes were upon him. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Fix your eyes on Jesus, if you don't mind me saying. Here he is. He began saying to them, he's sitting there. Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. When the word of the Lord is fulfilled, we should see something and we should know something. And he's telling them, this is it. I'm here. He's announcing it. There's an announcement that is made. I had no idea that, I didn't think about this because we're in this Christmas season. I don't formulate my thoughts around those kinds of things. Nevertheless, this is pretty good. Watch this. All who were speaking well of him and wondering at the gracious words, what did that look like? Year of Jubilee only happened once every 50 years. If it really worked at all by this time in history amongst the Jews, if that was really even happening legally among Levitical law and the code, even if that was living, because we know in Jesus' ministry, it says, this is Korban. Your mother and father can't even be helped by this. We know that there was distortions in the law and in the priesthood. Wondered at these gracious words falling from his lips. This is what you have. You're filled up with the word of God, and these gracious words fall from your lips when you speak to people. Isn't this Joseph's son? You could hold hands with somebody that was in the crowd, and you could walk down the street, and they will point out to you the house of Joseph. And this is, and the workshop, and the place where he built whatever he built. And they'll show you where Jesus lived, and his mother and father were living there. They could show you here in this place. You could walk down and everybody knew people. And he said, Jesus is speaking, no doubt, and we know this is going to happen, but I'm trying to tie Elijah into this because it does tie into this. This is that which is spoken. This is what we're going to see. No doubt you'll quote the proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. That came to pass, but not for another 3 years. It's going to come to pass. You will see it. Whatever we heard done in Capernaum, do here in our hometown as well. That will come to pass. It hasn't happened yet. Truly, I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. But I say to you, now he's comparing a thought. Just like what he said, he's comparing this thought. But just as I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the days of Elijah. When the sky was shut up for 3 years and 6 months, this is how we know how long the drought is. Jesus said that. James said that. 3 years and 6 months, it will be significant as we go into Elijah in his life and look at it. When a great famine came, yet Elijah was sent to none but a poor widow in Zarephath. There was a lot of poor widows in Zarephath. There was a lot of poor widows everywhere. There was a horrible, horrible drought in the land. Horrible. Horrible things happened. Interesting. All right, let's go to 1 Kings. Let's go visit this. Let's go visit this event. I call it an event. Something happened. Something that has been happened. Once again, setting up this story, I won't go into all the kinks, but it's fascinating. It all starts in 1 Samuel. We're coming out of the time of the judges, and I'll be as brief as I can at this because it sets us up for where we're at. What has happened? Where did Moses and Joshua and the elders and the high priest, where was he leading the people to? To God, to know God, to have a relationship with God, to have no other gods before us. There was promises. That has never changed. That has never changed. The heart of man is desperately wicked. He doesn't want anything to do with God. Who do we serve? Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. He will look him right in the face and tell him that. But I'm of the Father. I'm born of him. It's from God. All the time. If you want to talk about Old Testament, there's something that has not changed. Love the Lord your God with all your soul and all your strength. All your heart. Give your whole heart to God. This is where Elisha was living. So here we are coming out, Moses, coming out of the time of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the children of Israel captive in Egypt. God sends a deliverer, and out they come. And many, tick-tock, tick-tock, time is moving along. God is racing to Calvary. But there's many things that have to happen to them. And in those many events that happen through Scripture, Christ is revealed. In many events. How about the water that comes out of a rock? Can we talk about that? How about the lifting up of the serpent in the wilderness? Can we talk about that? How about the sea parting and them being baptized into the Red Sea? Can we talk about that? Many things we can talk about in the Old Testament that is going to lead us up to this place where Elijah's living. Elijah's living in a time and place, and so are you. And God is alive today, and we still serve him today and love him with all our heart. And so in strength, and we give our all to him. Do your best. Listen to the Spirit of God. We move forward. Do your best. Take a step towards God. Always and every day. So here it is. Samuel comes along. And all of a sudden, we start seeing prophets. It's not like we haven't seen any. We have definitely seen prophets in Judges. We have definitely seen, Abraham's called one. Moses is called one. We definitely see prophetic ministry. See, God has a plan. He's going to have a voice. He's going to have spokesmen here on the earth that are going to declare what he is doing and where he is doing. He might even tell you why he's doing it. To cleanse things, to bring judgment, for righteousness, for glory, for these. It all started with Samuel. If you look at the prayer of Hannah was Samuel's mother. Fascinating. We are in season. Unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given. Mary is trying to figure this out, and all of a sudden out of her mouth comes praises. And if you look at the praises and the prayer that comes out of her mouth, and you compare it with Hannah, you will find remarkable similitude of a prayer and thanksgiving to God. Because Hannah got a miracle. And his name was Samuel. And she said, if I get this miracle, I'm going to give it to God. I'm going to give this miracle to God. I'm going to give it back to him. And he's going to receive the glory. And he did in the person of Samuel. I believe that Samuel, as he grew and became stronger and became and had more power in his life and more relationship and closeness with God, and he was hearing God very clearly, even as a boy, he's hearing God very clearly. He was one of the prophets that they were talking about. He suffered many things. Oh, we want a king. Oh, that hurt. So let's just put a knife in Samuel's heart. No, you don't want a king. You don't want a king. God is your king. And the Lord visited him and told him, give him a king. Samuel wasn't sure about it right away. I think Samuel came to realize that even though Samuel maybe didn't see the cross way up here about a king of kings, and that all the government was going to rest on the shoulders of a king that's going to be a king of promise, he didn't see it at that time. Nevertheless, Samuel obeyed. Samuel was a man of obedience. He obeyed what God told him. He gave him a king. Who did he give him? Saul. That didn't work out very well. He gave him a man after their heart, a man who could deliver them. Look how big and powerful he is. Big and strong. He did deliver them a little bit, but he wasn't obedient. What happened then? Came to him, Samuel, look for this man. Go to Jesse's party. Look for this man. Here comes David. He's the one. Fantastic story in all this. We're trying to get to Elisha. So we have David. He rules and reigns 40 years. He has a son. His name's Solomon. He rules and reigns 40 years. He has a son, Rehoboam. See, we're not far from Elisha now. We're getting to Elijah. What is happening in the kingdom? What is happening in the world that is affecting the world? It splits because of bad decisions of leadership. The nation divides. What do we have to do with you, O house of David? Come on, Israel. We're going north. We're going back to your tents. And they put Jeroboam in charge. This is where the scripture sometimes seems as though you're seeing this king, you're seeing this king, you're seeing this king, you're seeing this king, and you're scratching your head and you're saying, what's going on here? Kings are being appointed to the northern kingdom, and kings are being appointed to the southern kingdom. Where's the shining star here? Come on, Janet, you know. The shining star is in Judah. That's where the promise is. Fix your eyes on Judah. Don't take your eyes off Judah. Because out of Judah is going to be born a king. A promise. A promise is going to come from Judah. The prophets have already said it. Keep your eyes on him. As we move forward, there's going to be 100 years are going to pass. Jeroboam says, oh, if these people return to Jerusalem like they're supposed to, and they give their offerings and sacrifices, and they draw close to God in Jerusalem, they're going to hate me and they're going to kill me. Calf worship. Baal worship. Let me give you a different idea other than God. Pursue that. Behold, your God, Israel. So he builds a calf in Samaria, and he builds a calf, makes a calf up in Dan. Behold your God who brought you out of Egypt. He connected that calf to their heritage and deceived the people and led the people astray. Led the people astray. Be careful of what you see going on in society. Do not let it get you astray. It's God who delivers you. It's God who gives you, causes you to prosper. It's God who brings peace to you. Righteousness, joy comes from him. Somehow Elisha knew this. Here we go, chapter 17. Several kings have been leading them astray until we finally get here. Out of the pages of scripture, out of this supposedly unknown figure that I do not think is unknown, I'll declare it to you. He was probably a teacher in the school of the prophets that Samuel started, that you don't see much about. There was prophets in the land. There was hundreds of prophets in the land because Jezebel tried to kill them all. So that's how we know there was prophets in the land. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the settlers of Gilead, said to Ahab, as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, God's seen them as one nation. They saw themselves as two. Before whom I stand. This is where Elisha lived, in the presence of God, if you don't mind me saying. That said that to me very plainly. Well, that's where I need to live too, right? Surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my word. When I say so, the word of the Lord came to him saying, go away from here. You delivered your word. Now go away. So he had the word of the Lord. He delivered the word of the Lord. This will come to you. You will have the word of the Lord for the day, for the hour, for the moment of time. And then you'll go away. But what was really happening here, when we connect it with all the narrative, the Lord hit him. This, we're going to know this. The story's going to tell us this. It's just, don't forget what happened. This is what happened. The word of the Lord came to say, go word, turn eastward, hide yourself by the brook Cherith. I know I read some of this last time we were together. Which is east of Jordan, it shall be that you will drink from the brook. Who's going to give him water? God is going to give him water. He's going to be his supply. He's going to drink from the brook until the brook goes dry, because there's a drought in the land. And sometimes there's a drought in the land. We learn this from Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You'll sow in a drought and you will have harvest and increase. This is amazing with the Spirit of God. There could be a lot of struggles in your life, and the Spirit of God will be moving in you, and there will be fruit that will be born in your time of struggle. We could be a man like Elisha. This is what James is saying. And Jesus is calling our attention to Elijah, and it'll say, it'll be like in the days of Elisha. There was a lot of poor widows. There was a lot of hungry people. But see, God, he sent his son for you. Selah. It shall be that when you drink from the brook that I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and lived by the brook. Go and park yourself in the place that God sent you. Stay there. Stay there. There's going to be water for you there. There's going to be food for you there. That's where you live, in the word of the Lord that's to you. The ravens brought the bread to him and the meat in the morning. Thank God the ravens aren't like a bunch of us church folks who hear it and then don't obey. See, they obeyed. The raven went and obeyed. Now, do I think, you could ask me, well, what other ways? This isn't important because it's not part of the narrative, but as we see in the days of Moses, the wind blew and the partridge came and landed in the camp. That's all they had to do, was take the feathers off and fry them up, and it's all good, right? The rock opened up and gave them water. They would go to places, and God would water them, and God would feed them. You have to live in the moment of the word of God for you. They brought him bread in the morning, meat in the evening. He would drink from the brook. It happened while the brook, when the brook dried up, because there was no rain in the land. He's the one that gave the word. You know, he didn't think about himself too much. You know, if I would have been thinking about myself, I said, okay, Lord, I've had enough of this. I need my brook to be filled back up again. Let it start raining again. He wasn't thinking about himself. He was thinking about what the word of the Lord was to him. There was a purpose and a cause for this word to go out. Don't interrupt it. Don't get in the way of the word of God that has gone forth. It'll be trouble for you. I can show you a lot of places in Scripture where that's true. Even if you think about Jonah. And Jonah's an interesting figure. The storm is coming. Jonah's napping. All the skilled sailors were trying to get the boat aright in the midst of the storm and tried to save his life. He says, nah, never mind. It's not going to work. You're not going to fight against God. He will throw you in the drink. And when you get in the drink, he will come and save you. And he will deliver you, and he will lift you up, and you will do the will of God. And that's what Jonah did. The big question is, not that I want to get into a big thing about Jonah, I'm talking about how God will come and rescue you, and how he had to be in the Word of God. He went and preached the Word of God to Nineveh, and the whole town got saved. Not many evangelists have that kind of record that they can write down as on their recipe. I went to this town and the whole town got saved. Recently we had gotten a word, Brother Allen was over in Africa, recently we had gotten a word that the whole village was saved. Brother Israel had the same kind of thing happen to him in India. And it was hard plowing. He's in this village plowing and plowing, digging well, providing food. Nothing was happening. The people are depressed. The animals are sick. And this call for prayer meeting and healing, and this lady brings a goat up. Am I getting the story right, Pastor Bill? Pray for my goat. He just, by the word of the Lord, lay hands on the goat, and the goat was healed, and all the animals in the town were healed. Is that right? And the whole town was at his meetings to hear the word of the Lord. See, when the power of God is moving and the anointing of God and he's in the will of God and in the timeline of God, things can happen. This is where Elijah is living right now. Here he is in the will of God. So then the word of the Lord came to him saying, okay, the brook is dried up. He's got to move on. No water here. Elijah, you weren't being very spiritual. You know, maybe you should dig a well. No, he waited for the next word of the Lord, came to him, and he moved on. This is the remark that Jesus made about him, because there was a compassion, a mercy that was in the heart of God that you have to open your eyes to see if you want to see it. It's right here. If you just want to read it like it's a story or a headline, you will miss it. Jesus was more than a headline. He was life. He was light. This is what he was. He wasn't a headline. I have commanded a widow to provide for you. Go to Zarephath. I've commanded a widow. Okay. Packs his bags. Picks up his shirts. Throws them in the bag. He bugs out. He's done with Cherith. He's on his way to Zarephath. So he arose, went to Zarephath. When he came to the gate of the city, behold, a widow was there gathering sticks. Oh, yes, thank you. I have to stop looking at that clock. Thank you, Pastor Bill. We'll pick up here. She's gathering sticks. Interestingly enough, woman, you have to understand the time that they're living in. Woman, bring me some water. It was normal. This was normal back then. God is going to provide water for him. God is going to provide food for him. And he's going to use a widow. And that's what Jesus said about him, about Elijah, that only a woman, only this one woman, and it's going to be interesting.